fighting for America.
Unless we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place. Remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ.
Fighting for Idaho.
Who decides when a law-abiding citizen is trained enough to defend themselves? And I don't think any of us, whether that's the legislators, the sheriffs, other citizens, have the right to tell someone when they are qualified to defend their life.
Fighting for you.
The pipeline is the way that they carry the product from the wells.
I know what a pipeline is, but okay. No, I'm saying...
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Thank you for joining us. Kevin Miller in the Morning here at 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Common Core, always a hot topic here in the state of Idaho, across the country. Joining us now from the Fordham Institute, National Policy Director, Michael Brickman, to talk about Common Core and to be in favor of Common Core. Is that correct, Mr. Brickman?
Yeah, it's correct.
Good to have you back. So how goes the battle to implement and continue to implement Common Core nationwide?
Well, you know, it's not quite nationwide. States, of course, are free to choose whether they want Common Core or something else, and the vast majority of states have chosen to go with Common Core. So I think overall it's going well. The one thing that kind of bothers me, to be honest, though, is that the Obama administration has come in. They've politicized this over the years. Took credit for it in one of the President's State of the Union addresses a couple years back. And effectively dangled money for states to adopt these standards that I think most states would have adopted anyway. But really, I think that's the root cause of why some people are justifiably upset about this. They don't dislike the standards. They dislike the fact that the Obama administration is telling them what to do when we know education should be a state issue.
You do have a lot of people worried about the data collection and the testing. How do you address that?
Well, you know, these are two issues that are legitimate issues, but really have nothing to do with the standards themselves. So, on the testing issue, there have been a lot of studies that have come out recently that say, yeah, there is over-testing in our schools to some extent. But the reason for that is that the tests that have been mandated by states are really not all that good, and that's true in states across the country. And so districts say, well, we have to use these tests, but they're not really all that useful for us, and so we need to have additional tests at the local level that cost money and take up time.
Yet on the other
hand, have
Ryan, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to address the data privacy issue too, which is of course a legitimate issue. States need to make sure they have a good data privacy law in place. Really, that has nothing to do with what the standards are, what the tests are. You need to make sure that, of course, parents and teachers have good information about how children are performing, but you don't want that shared widely. You want that protected, and you want the scope of what is actually collected in the first place to be limited.
Yet you have people saying that the teachers don't even have access to the tests and can't see what their students are being tested on.
Well, they do have access to example tests. They do have things you might see on the test, but no, I mean, that's never been the case, that the standardized test that's meant to determine not only a student's performance, but to try and figure out how teachers are performing and try and figure out how schools are performing so they can improve. You don't want them to have the exact test because that can lead to, potentially some bad outcomes where they know exactly what the answer to number 12 is going to be. So I think that makes sense.
So where do we go from here when we're talking about Common Core? You have states like Idaho and others where people are saying that they're going to try and get the standards removed.
Well, look, that's, as I said at the outset, completely up to states on what they want to do. And as I've written in the past, and I think many other people who are supporters of Common Core say, look, as long as you have standards that are as good, if not better, than the Common Core, then that's great. You can have, states can have whatever set of standards they want, but they need to realize that, first of all, the Common Core are much better than what was in place in most states before. And the development of a set of standards like that is complicated. It takes time. And if you're switching standards every couple of years, that can really be disruptive for teachers, because let's remember, these are the goals. This is the North Star that's meant to be guiding teachers on what they want students to ultimately know. So, of course, still up to teachers on how they teach, what curriculum, what textbooks, what lessons they use. Always has been, always will be up to teachers and local school boards. But if you keep changing the expectations and keep changing the goals on them, that can really be disruptive and tough for teachers to know exactly what the end goal is supposed to be.
We go to the phones, and we go to Tea Party Bob, Gem State Patriot, for Michael Brickman at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Kevin. Michael, just a very important question, because we are having a problem here in Common Core with getting our legislators to get rid of this SBAC test. And I don't know what their problem is. When Common Core was instituted here, it was done by a rule. It wasn't done by a bill. And they took it on, and there's been nothing but complaining from the teachers, from the parents, from the students for the last few years. And there have been resolutions passed by the Democratic Party in Washington to get rid of Common Core, by the National Republican Committee to get rid of it, and by our Idaho Republican Committee to get rid of it. But it seems like they need to have a reason. And the reason I'd like to ask you is, how much is this going to cost this state to implement the curriculum and to do this testing? Because all that I've read so far, it's going to be exponentially higher than anybody has ever figured.
Well, great question. I appreciate the call. And, you know, I think the cost issue is absolutely a legitimate one, because we need to make sure that we have responsible use of taxpayer dollars across the education system. But like I mentioned, the Common Core, I think by opponents and by supporters, has been turned into the end-all be-all of the education system, and it's the only thing that matters in some people's minds. That's not true. This is essentially the set of goals and expectations. What do you want students to know at the end of high school? What do you want them to know at the end of each grade? And so, as important as goal setting is in education and any other aspect of life, what really matters is not what goals you set, but how you go about meeting those goals. So I'm sure there are many, many school districts across the state of Idaho who, even though these standards are higher, they're tougher than what was in place before, are going to have no problem meeting these standards. And in fact, because Idaho is a smaller state, I'm from a smaller state, Wisconsin, you often didn't have access to textbook companies that would write to your state standards. So you really had a couple of options at most. And we all know, when there's not a lot of competition, things get expensive. So with Common Core, one of the advantages is the fact that Idaho standards are very similar to a lot of the neighboring states and a lot of the states across the country. And so you now have access to materials that are low cost, maybe even free. If you look at, for example, Khan Academy, which is a great free online resource that many parents have used for a long time now. And the other cost issue is this issue of remediation. So when you set expectations low, which was the case prior to Common Core, kids can be meeting those expectations year after year after year, and parents are told, it's not true, but they're told that the kids are doing just fine. All of a sudden, they graduate from high school and they're nowhere near ready to get a job or go to college. And so in the case of college, you have to pay for expensive remedial courses that don't actually count towards getting that degree. And in the case of getting a job, oftentimes employers will either not hire you in the first place, or they'll make sure you need to go get some additional, basically high school level learning before they'll let you come on the job. So you know, it's really a problem, and that's a cost to taxpayers and to individuals. That's been a huge problem in Idaho and across the state, or across the country, for a long time.
Do you think Common Core is going to continue to be the with-all to end-all, or are states finally figuring out that they are having some serious problems with its implementation? And I'll take your answer off the air.
All right, Tea Party Bob, thank you. At 580-KIDO, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We are discussing Common Core with Michael Brickman of the Fordham Institute. Mr. Brickman, go ahead, please.
Yeah, and another good question. I think this is something that's ultimately up to states. I guess don't necessarily agree that there have been huge problems with this, because, again, this is a set of goals and expectations. I think two problems. One is the federal overreach, which I mentioned, and that's a really easy fix. You get Congress to say once and for all that states have absolutely no ability to be influenced by the federal Department of Education on this, and then, you know, let them go do what they want. And the other thing is, I think there's been some really deep misunderstandings about what this is in the first place. Your caller mentioned that this is a curriculum. It's not a curriculum. Curriculum is set at the local level, always has been, always will be. And that really gets into how you teach, what specifically you're assigning to kids. That's much different than Common Core, which is a set of goals, and really is about where are we trying to get to, not how you're trying to achieve that. Because, look, every kid has different needs, different abilities, and if you never want a one-size-fits-all solution. You want everybody reaching the same goals, but every child is going to have a different path to get there.
Mr. Brickman, we appreciate it. Anything else you'd like to share with us this morning?
Absolutely. So I appreciate you having me, and I would just mention that if anybody wants to go see for themselves, you know, not what they've heard, not what they've maybe seen on Facebook, but you know, find out for themselves what is actually in these standards. What are we expecting students in the state of Idaho to know by the end of high school and by the end of each grade? Go read the standards for yourself. They're at corestandards.org. And I really would challenge anybody who has some concerns about this to go do that, because just about everybody I've ever talked to, once they go read the standards, they say, wow, this is great stuff. This is absolutely what I want my kids to be learning at school. Now let's go work with our local school districts to make sure they're making good choices so my kids can actually learn all this stuff by the time they graduate from high school.
It is tough, though, because you're about the only person that I know that seems to be in favor of Common Core. Even educators have said to us that they have issues with it, particularly about the data collection.
Well, again, if Idaho, you know, that's a state-level decision. If Idaho has insufficient data privacy protections, that's absolutely a problem, and the legislature needs to get going on that. But, again, that's a completely separate issue, and you can have any set of standards under the sun, and that's not going to fix the potential data privacy concerns.
Quickly, we go to Charles in Meridian for Michael Brickman at 580KIDO. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. I just got a really quick question. I think the problem with the schools is that we allow people to go to the next grade that aren't qualified. So are we willing to hold people back when they're not doing what they're supposed to do or qualified to go to the next grade?
Well, that's a great question, and, you know, that's something that I kind of alluded to a minute ago. If you set expectations for students that are extremely low, if you set the bar really low, of course, students are going to be passed on from grade to grade, and parents are going to be told that the kids are doing just fine. When we know that other states and other countries are setting much higher expectations, we know that the jobs are going to go where the educated young people are. And we need to make sure that we're, more than anything, being honest with parents about how students are actually doing in the education system. Because when you set low expectations, you're being fundamentally dishonest, and you're telling people everything's
just fine.
You know,
I totally agree with you, and it's a nice talk, but the fact is that no teacher is willing to hold back a student because the parents will get angry that their kid is not going with their kid or friends. So until you guys are face reality and say that we're going to hold kids back that aren't ready for the higher grades, nothing's going to get accomplished.
Well, you know, I think that's actually a very valid point. And it's a little bit different of an issue than what standards you set, but as I mentioned, it's related.
Well, standards don't mean anything if you don't have anybody holding up to the standards. The fact is,
no,
you
totally,
got people
totally
that
agree.
Graduate from high school and can't read and write. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Absolutely agree with you. And, you know, you make a really good point that it's not just about setting high goals. And I kind of mentioned this before, it's not just about setting high goals, you need accountability. You need to hold the adults in the school system accountable for whether or not students are learning. And in fact, there are some states that say If you don't read, if you can't read by the end of third grade, which is probably the most important kind of checkpoint, if you can't read that by the end of third grade, you're going to really struggle. You're much more likely to drop out of high school. And so there are states that will that have a law in place that holds students back who can't read on grade level by the end of third grade. But as you mentioned, that's a tough thing politically. And Oklahoma, for example, had a law in place, but then it got a little too hot for them because they're hearing some pushback from parents.
That's your problem, right?
And so they repealed the law.
You can't have standards when the standards are not going to be met.
All right, Charles, thank you for the call. Mr. Rickman, thank you. Kevin Miller in the morning. 580 KIDO, it's 20 after 8. Let's get you to
the DMB Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
I will remember you. Will you remember me?
I've spoken of the Shining City all my political life, but I don't know if I ever quite communicated what I saw when I said it. But in my mind, it was a tall, proud city, built on rocks stronger than oceans, windswept, God-blessed, and teeming with people of all kinds, living in harmony and peace. A city with free ports that hummed with commerce and creativity. And if there had to be city walls, the walls had doors, and the doors were open to anyone with the will and the heart to get there. That's how I saw it, and see it still.
There we have it. The Gipper, born today, President Reagan. That's funny, everybody says, we need another Reagan. That was the beauty of Ronald Reagan. There'll never be another Reagan. You know, one of the greatest memories that I have of President Reagan was, and you can watch this on YouTube, and sometimes when we need a dash of inspiration, we go back to the archives, we go to YouTube, and we see his last public speech before the Republican convention in Houston in 1992. For once again, the Republican Party needed its greatest champion, Ronald Wilson Reagan, the Gipper, to come out and pump up George H.W. Bush, old Poppy. And after the convention, they did receive a bounce. It wasn't enough to save the Bush presidency, the legacy. But remember, in 88, I mean, it was the third Reagan term that got Bush elected. And Reagan talking about the Reagan Revolution. And Ronald Reagan saying, you know, we did a lot together. And you felt as if you contributed just as much as anyone else. He took us on an incredible journey. And it makes me sad today as a child growing up under Reagan. I think that presidents have such a huge influence on the youth. When Reagan came into office, I was 12. When he left, I was 20. I've often thought that the children, as I call them, of Clinton had a challenge, but the children of Obama, an even graver one, in my opinion. But who, whether you've been married or divorced, you're in a relationship, you're single, cannot help but admire the love, respect, loyalty that the Reagans had for each other. And when Ronald Reagan called out Nancy for his final public speech, taking a shot at Clinton, not with tenacity but with humor, with the old line, you're no Thomas Jefferson. I knew him. You're no Thomas Jefferson. And what person, man or woman, would not want to have that same relationship with their spouse as the Reagans had with each other? And here you have a man at the height of his powers giving credit to his wife for being there every step of the way and covering the Reagan funeral in Washington and seeing all the leaders of the past, the Lincolns, the Washingtons, the statues adorned in the Great Rotunda, seemingly staring down at Ronald Reagan, and the sadness and the gratitude of the nation. That's what I think about on February 6th. That's what I think about when I think of Ronald Reagan. that he let us know that no matter what, America was that great city on the hill, and everything would be okay as it always had been in America. A far different cry than what we have today. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
I made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago. I want to apologize.
Lies, 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 yeah.
I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by RPG fire. I was instead in a following aircraft.
Did you get up on the wrong side of the bed this morning? Get up on the right side. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Yeah. 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning here. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Joining us now is Jerry Stanfield, Executive Director. When we're talking about the Alzheimer's Foundation, good to have you with us here, ma'am. Just grab the microphone there and pull it down.
Okay.
Okay, we appreciate that. Go ahead, please.
Yes, and we are the Alzheimer's Idaho Incorporated. We are a local grassroots nonprofit, and we are not a part of any national organization.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Talk a little bit about this devastating disease, ma'am.
This disease is, as we hear and see more that is coming out, I can tell you on a day-to-day operational that we are seeing a much younger population than what I think folks think in general is existing with dementia and Alzheimer's. And I'm talking people that are around 50 and over. And it's not... it's not the other end where once in a while we may see these people. It is mainstay. Last year, we had a 240% increase on the amount of new families calling in for help. We have hospitals and medical professionals calling and needing help working with families because they're ending up in emergency rooms, and the caregivers are, because the overwhelming task day-to-day is so consuming and devastating.
It robs you of your humanity, it seems.
Pardon?
What's that?
I'm sorry, you said what?
I said it robs you of your humanity.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, who else do we have here?
And this is Catherine Owen. She is our media representative for Alzheimer's Idaho.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Great, great. Good to have you here. So, your thoughts on this big event tomorrow?
It's an exciting event. The Battle of the Badges annual chili cook-off that we do is one of our two main fundraiser events. And this has been an event where we have the local emergency responders competing against each other for the title of the best chili. It's at the Meridian Senior Center Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We invite everybody to come out. It's $10 a person.
And the money goes to?
The money goes to Alzheimer's Idaho. It provides services for families such as training and how to work with their loved ones. It provides respite resources, different services such as that.
What advice can you give families that... have someone who might be in the early stages? It's a very emotionally challenging disease.
The early stages are an interesting place to be because, honestly speaking, when I get into the homes, I find what is felt by the family to be early stages is beyond that. Because when the question is asked, how long ago did this really begin? When were you diagnosed? They very honestly, continuously say probably 2, 3, maybe even 5 years. And so we're at a point at the time that I'm in the home to be able to start working with a behavior training because that is what they're dealing with on a day-to-day. And there is a positive answer to that. There is a good solution that can make things better both for the caregiver and the affected person.
when we take a look at any advice that you can give as far as how to cope, here you have somebody that you've known for many, many years. And so often we talk about the people that are impacted, but you have people that all of a sudden they can't remember their brother, their sister. And there's a frustration within the Alzheimer's patient themselves. And like a lot of things, unless you are touched by it, unless you deal with it, you have no clue how devastating this is. And when you have grown people that you've known and admired for years and you've counted on to be your guiding light and they can't remember you, how do you describe that into words and how to cope with it? I mean, that's what you guys do all the time.
And you're exactly right. Unless you've lived with it and cared for it, you really don't know. And when they're at the point of not recognizing it, it really is a more simple concept to look at, because as they progress in this disease, the short term is going away. They're traveling back in time, and actually the dots aren't connecting. They can look at a family member that's now older, and they're where they're younger, and they don't recognize them. I've had people say, well, when they reach that point, you know, they're really progressed and they need to be in a home or whatever. And honestly speaking, that isn't a difficult behavior to deal with, because you join where they're at and you agree with what they say, and it can make the day a lot better. And the understanding of that is not so devastating once you have that education, because everything around them, every single day changing, is the devastation, and learning how to deal with that will help.
I don't think a lot of folks, though, understand the enormity of it when you have people that, you know, don't even know if they've taken showers. Mm-hmm. And they don't know if they've, you know, if they're wearing the same clothes day in and day out. And that really is, you know, we talk about, well, I can't remember people, but, and then it comes down to the family members. And then you have people saying, well, you know, why am I living? And this is such a horrible disease when you're talking about people that have, you know, that it's, you know, we talk about wiping the computer clean. We're actually doing that with people that we love, that this disease is doing it to.
Well, again, if the concept is understood that you're agreeing and going along and validating everything that they're saying, then they are not in such a desperate place where they have that sense that, why is it that everything I say is wrong? They become to where they distrust the other person. It can be to where if you're validating and going along with everything, it makes the journey for them a lot better, a lot less scary. And for the caregiver, it keeps them in a place where they're not constantly feeling like they're in a panic mode.
One more final question, then we'll talk about the event again. What do you say to people that aren't impacted by this? You know, they're just abstract stories that you and I are talking about, but my family's been impacted by it. A lot of people have. And you and I can speak to that special sensitivity. What do you say to people listening here at 580KIDO that, you know, these are just stories?
And that's a good point to bring up. And I will say that for the most part nowadays, it's really hard to find those that have not been affected by a friend, a family member. But for those who haven't, it is a disease that is hitting younger and younger. And there are things that we can do to help prevent that from hopefully happening, but if not, we need to be aware and we need to be sensitive and we need to be reaching out to those people, because they can no longer help themselves. It's all about the caregivers, the family, the support unit around them.
And that's once again why it's so important to come out tomorrow and have some chili and donate to a great cause.
Absolutely.
And once again, if people would like to do that,
that will be tomorrow at the Meridian Senior Center from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And for people that may not be familiar with where that is, easy to find in Meridian, I guess. You just kind of Google it, Meridian Senior Center, and you'll be good to go?
Correct. It's right behind the Village in Meridian.
Oh, there we have it. Very easy to find. Well, keep up the good fight. And, again, when you talk, it, you know, could happen to anybody.
That is correct, and we really appreciate the time you've given us.
Well, every day is a blessing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. Well, please come back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 847 580 KIDO. Time for traffic.
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing.
All right. In honor of the Kingston Trio today, why don't we give away a pair of tickets to our friends? The Kingston Trio coming to the Morrison Center at 580-5436, caller 10. You're going to win tickets to the Kingston Trio. If you get a chance, you can always follow me on Facebook, Kevin Miller Show, and you'll see an article from Stars and Stripes that was the first to out Brian Williams, should he be given the boot, because he lied about being a war hero.
We were in some helicopters. What we didn't know was we were north of the invasion. We were the northernmost Americans in Iraq. We were going to drop some bridge portions across the Euphrates so the 3rd Infantry could cross on them. Two of our four helicopters were hit by ground fire, including the one I was in.
No kidding.
RPG and AK-47.
What altitude were you hit at?
We were only at 100 feet doing 100 forward knots because we had these massive pieces of bridge beneath us on slings.
What happens the minute everybody realizes you've been hit?
We figure out how to land safely, and we did. We landed very quickly and hard, and we put down, and we were stuck. Four birds in the middle of the desert, and we were north out ahead of the other Americans.
Oh, my.
And
now, remember what Brian Williams said. That's his story to David Letterman. Let's see if it adds up to his apology.
On this broadcast last week, in an effort to honor and thank a veteran who protected me and so many others after a ground fire incident in the desert during the Iraq War invasion, I made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago. It did not take long to hear from some brave men and women in the air crews who were also in that desert. I want to apologize. I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by RPG fire. I was instead in a following aircraft. We all landed after the ground fire incident and spent two harrowing nights in a sandstorm in the Iraq desert. This was a bungled attempt by me to thank one special veteran and, by extension, our brave military men and women.
Seemed like he was honoring himself. Liberal Steve with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, some people just gotta pat their chest, you know what I mean? Throw a little extra in the story. But hey, a liar's a liar. Oh, same with Kyle's book and a lot of incidents too that didn't happen. So what I called about was dementia. Lots of relatives, lots of friends, terrible thing to see happen. So our brain tumors that seem to be happening more and more in our young men and women in their 30s and 40s. But I wanted to call and talk to the people. I know they're probably not in studio anymore. They need to start jumping on board with medical cannabis oil, legal in every state in the United States. The research by the scientists is leaps and bounds growing. Case after case after case of dementia being reversed by cannabis oil. Case after case after case. Yet, it's still illegal in the majority of states.
So you're basically going from one topic to your own agenda.
I've jumped back to your dementia people. And
I think apparently your time is just about up.
Well, see, you poo-poo it like that, Mr. Miller. But
because everything goes back to legalizing. Research. Everything goes back to legalizing dope with you.
Would you quit calling it dope?
Dope,
you don't call
dope,
your, you
dope,
don't call
dope, 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 dope.
Yeah, it's easy to just
dope, dope,
like
dope,
that.
Dope, dope, dope.
But the serious people out there, your serious listeners, know.
They're not high on dope, that's for sure, because they're serious.
Oh, well, you just me when you talk like a child. Get on board with the history and get on board.
You know,
you still
haven't gotten it yet. You still haven't gotten it yet that you and your crew of drug legalizers are on the losing end of history. You know, I was sitting there watching Angela or Andrea or whatever her name is, Tarantula, Tarantotos or whatever her name is, on Fox News saying, we need to get with it. We need to, you know, what's so wrong with marijuana? Everybody's doing it. That's the sloth. That's the gluttony. And it's a slippery slope when you start legalizing the pot smoking, buddy. You want to end pot in America? Drug test everybody. Why not?
Well,
you're going to test me for my cholesterol? Test you for smoking pot. You and your friends in Oregon.
As your friend, President Reagan, said, just say no.
That was his wife, Nancy.
Have another jelly bean. Oh, no more taxes, but I raised him more than any president in history.
The heck that he did. He saved America.
Yeah, he saved America.
God bless Ronald Reagan on his birthday.
It's the reason we went bankrupt in 2008.
Oh, yes, we're going to go back to Reagan. Yeah, I think it was 8 years of your boy Clinton there.
Everything he put in place. Anyway, you stay fired up, and we'll catch you later.
Yeah, compelling. 8:58, time for traffic at 580KI. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO, 63 in Star, Idaho. Hey, if you're like me, I think you need to go get some chicken soup and, that's right, you got to work today. Well, my advice to you is spend the weekend recouping. We need you healthy and wholesome and ready to go on Monday if you're battling these colds. Going to be wet this weekend, but once again, appreciate you listening. Good day. God bless you and your family, friends. And when in doubt, keep the faith.